Titus 2:13, the Bible talks about the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, something like faith and Savior, Yeshua Christ. We mentioned how that cannot be speaking of God the Father, but he said it could go either way, and I agree with it that it does go the other way. We wondered how it could be referring to the Father because it talks about the appearing of God. Well, Matthew 16, verse 27, Christ comes in the glory of his Father. And so his Father, according to Revelation 1, verse 4, is the one who was, who is, and who is to come. He really is. And so God will come a second time. He will through his Son. So there's no problem there. I want to go to Hebrews 1, verses 8 through 9. I think this is one of the more potent passages for my position, personally. I've got the text up there. Read along with me. But unto the Son, he saith. So the Father is speaking to the Son. Thy throne, O God, not my God, Kevin. Not the Father's God. He just says, thy throne, O God. Thy throne, O God, not my God. That's the Son called the Father's God. It's forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou, the Son, hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, the Father, even thy God, the Son's God, hath anointed thee, the Son, with the oil of gladness above thy, the Son's fellows. Here, the Son, as God, has a God. Not as man has a God. As God has a God. That's his Father. He's not that God. That's the point I've been trying to make. Verses 10 through 12 do not refer to the Son. They refer to the Father. There are quotations from Psalms 102, 25 through 27. The closest antecedent to verses 10 through 12 is the God that the Son has. If you look at Psalms 102, it's definitely speaking of Yahweh creating all things. And so the author of Hebrews brings in somewhat of a doxology of praise to the Father in verses 10 through 12 before he continues in praise to the Son. In Hebrews 1:10, it talks about the works of thy hands, the works of Yahweh's hands. But in Hebrews 2, verse 7, the Bible says that Yeshua is set over the works of thy hands. And so the creation is not the works of Yeshua's hands. He's set over the works of Yahweh's hands. Once again, Hebrews 1:10 compared with Hebrews 2, verse 7. Passages like, we'll just read one, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Christ. If that proves he's not the Father, and Trinitarians believe that it does, it also proves he's not God. You know, he mentioned that passages in Hebrews, and we'll get to this, talk about let us. Because Hebrews 1:2 and different passages, Colossians 1:16, talk about the Son being involved in creation. He said, well, that must mean let us in Genesis 1:26. Let us does not prove that more than one person or being did the creating. Genesis 1:27 explains that for us, Pat, when it says, therefore God created man in his own image. Once again, the singular pronoun is used. It's amazing how that there are literally thousands of singular pronouns used of God in both the Old and New Testament, but yet Trinitarian theology holds on to two or three times where it seems to be using the plural pronoun. Let us. In Ezra chapter 4, I believe, verse 8, there was a letter that was sent solely to King Artaxerxes. And in verse 18, he said, the letter which you have sent unto us hath been read before me. It was sent to him alone, but he spoke in reference to his subject. We might say in this room, let's turn on the lights. Let us turn on the lights. But one person flips the switch. You might wake up in the morning and say, let's see. What am I going to do today? Let us see. That's not speaking to the schizophrenic. It's just a way of speaking. And the Bible speaks in those languages as well. Yahweh alone created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 44:24 makes that very clear. Let's go to the next chart, 53. The Son did pre-exist, but in what sense? I mentioned Revelation 13:8. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, Pat does not believe, if he can correct me if I'm wrong, that Yeshua was literally slain, hanging on a tree beside the Father, dying before the foundation of the world. He doesn't believe that. But yet, that passage says that, doesn't it? Am I trying to get around that passage? Or am I simply taking it for what it means or what it says? 1 Peter 1:22, speaking of Yeshua, verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Not in the former times, but in the last times. Hebrews 1:2 says that God speaks by his Son in these last days. That means when you see God speaking in the Old Testament, that's the Father, not the Son. We'll get to the two Redeemer texts too in Isaiah. John 1:15-30, before, it's the Greek word protos or protos, carries the idea of superiority. Not that he was literally before him. John 6:62, I believe it could be one of two ways understood. It could be speaking of the resurrection in a futuristic sense, Or most likely, it speaks of him coming down from heaven. That is his heavenly origin. Just like Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek while in the loins of Abraham, so also Yeshua existed in the loins of his father, so to speak, in the bosom of his father, John 1:18, before he came to this earth. Manna came down from heaven. Stones came down from heaven. Snow and fire came down from heaven. 2 Kings 1:10, Isaiah 55:10, Joshua 10:11. Were all those literally pre-existing with God in heaven? No. It just means that God sent them. John 8:58, Yeshua was before Abraham in the plan of Yahweh. The context shows Abraham saw Yeshua's day, verse 56. Hebrews 11:13 says he saw it by faith. I'm going to have to go quickly. John 17:5, Yeshua had glory in the foreordained plan of Yahweh. It wasn't talking about glory of the second person of the Trinity, because in verse 24, he was going to share that glory with his disciples. Were his disciples part of the Trinity too? No. 1 Corinthians 10:4, Yeshua was not a literal rock. He didn't literally follow them. He followed them in time. Paul relates spiritual drink in Exodus 17 with Christ to give the water of life in John 6:35. Yeshua was rich in that he was Yahweh's begotten Son. I mentioned that in my first speech. If your father was God, you would automatically be rich. But he became poor for our sakes. He died. Once again, he could have not died. He didn't want to die. He had a separate will from his father. But he died. 1 Peter 3:19. I'm not for sure what that verse is talking about, for sure, but I do know that he preached after he was made alive, verses 18 through 19. This will be after the resurrection, not before. See, Yeshua is the only begotten Son. Begotten, meaning monogenes, meaning coming into existence. Monos and genomai, meaning to generate, cause to be, come into being, or exist. That is when he came into being, when he was begotten. That's what the word begotten means. When I beget a son, he comes into existence. Creation by the Son. Very quickly, Proverbs 30 and 4. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name, and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? This is speaking, Pat, of the Son in prophecy. He wanted to know why does passages like Psalm 2 and 7 talk about, this day have I begotten thee. Well, he didn't literally beget the Son in Psalm 2, verse 7. But prophetically, he begets the Son. So you can speak of the Son in prophecy, just like you can speak of maybe the apostles in prophecy or other men in prophecy that were to come. That didn't mean they literally existed. Passages like Mark 10 and 6 with Yeshua talking, he said, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Not I made them male and female. Revelation 4, 10 and 11, 5, 6 through 7, Yahweh is the Creator sitting upon the throne, and Yeshua takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting upon the throne. The one sitting upon the throne is the Creator. The one that takes the book is the Son of the Creator. Acts 17:24 also shows that. In Ephesians 3:9, Hebrews 1:2, John 1:10, and Colossians 1:16 through 17, the Greek word that is translated by, predominantly in those texts, is the word dia. Dia has both a causal and intermediary sense. God did create the world, I could say, by His Son or through His Son. When He looked throughout the corridors of time, everything that Yahweh did was for the sake of the Son. Therefore, it was by the Son, or through the Son, that He created. Without the Son in mind, there would be no creation. When Yahweh created all things, He did it because the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world needed a venue, or a stage, so to speak, for that to be fulfilled. Therefore, the impetus for creation was the Son. Without the Son in Yahweh's mind, there would be no creation. At the same time, Yahweh created everything for His Son. It was part of His plan to give all power and authority to His Son so that He would rule. Let's get to next chart 52. What did Yeshua believe? In John 17, 1-3, Pat tried to say that only true God didn't really mean only true God. It means only true God. Now, he used various passages, such as like Isaiah 43:11 or 1 Kings 8:39, where Solomon said that Yahweh only knows the hearts of men. And then he said, well, Yeshua knows the hearts of men, Luke 5:22. But other prophets, such as Elisha, he knew of Gehazi's sins. When Gehazi came back to him, 2 Kings 5:26, he said, went not my heart with thee? Elisha knew the hearts of men, just like Yeshua. That's because God granted him that power. But in a very unique sense, God only. It means what it says, Pat. 1 Kings 8:39 really does mean God only knows the hearts of men. He can allow people to know the hearts of men, like Elisha and Yeshua. That doesn't mean that they're God. Psalm 51:4, obviously, David is speaking of ultimately. He only sinned against God. It really means that. Why? Because God gave the law, not Uriah. Uriah didn't give the law. Did he sin against Uriah? Yes. But ultimately, it was only against Yahweh. In John chapter 10, this is chart number 20. In John chapter 10, verse 32 through 36, it's hard to know which one you want to get to. Yeshua was accused of making himself out to be God. I want to get back to that last chart too. He was accused of making himself out to be God. He was accused of many things in his ministry. And how he answered that claim was by going to Psalms 82. He didn't go to Exodus 3, 15. He didn't go to Isaiah 9, verse 6. He went to Psalms 82 when he was accused of making himself God. That's the passage he went to. He put himself in that category of God. Do you know what Psalms 82 speaks of, 1 through 6? It speaks of judges in Israel called Elohim, God. Why? Because they acted on God's behalf of his authority on earth. He put himself in that category of God, not in the category of the one God. And in John 17, only meant only. I don't believe that Yeshua is a false light or a false God. You know, in John 1:19, the Bible calls Yeshua the true light. But in Matthew 5:16, he tells his disciples, ye are the light of the world. That doesn't mean they're false lights, does it? No. They're lights, but in a sense, he is the true light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. In Mark chapter 12, when the scribe came to Yeshua, this is on chart number 19, the previous chart. In Mark chapter 12, when the scribe came to Yeshua, he said, what's the greatest commandment? Yeshua quoted what is known in Hebrew as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about Yahweh. And the scribe answered him and said, you know what? You've answered wisely, Master. Because there is only one God, and there is none other but He. Notice how none other but He qualifies one God. It's not one God in the sense of a trinity, but one God in the sense of numerical oneness, which is what the Hebrew word echad means. In Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, the Bible says two is better than one. One being the word echad. Yahweh is echad. He is one. He's not two. He's not three. He's not multiple persons. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, chart number 6, we could illustrate this by saying, for there is one truck and one car between the truck and us, a Toyota Corolla. Now, wouldn't you know what that means? Would you confuse the Toyota Corolla with the truck that was in front of you? Or you could say, for there is one boss and one secretary between the boss and us, Sally Smith. We could also say what 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 said, and we could not only pay lip service to it, but we could believe it with our hearts. Where it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The Apostle Paul moves Yeshua away from the one God category in that passage. He's between God and men. He's not us. He's not the one God. You'll agree with the numerous examples that I give, but if a person doesn't agree with 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it's not because of what the Bible teaches. It's because of tradition. It's because of tradition. Chart number 9. Never is Yeshua called God's Son. Always the Son of God. Pat spoke of God the Father and God the Son in the first speech. Matthew 14:33, truly you are the Son of God. Mark 1:1, the gospel of Yeshua the Christ, the Son of God. Luke 1:35, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. John 20:31, you need to believe Yeshua is the Christ, the Son of God. Acts 9:20, Paul preached that He is the Son of God. Hebrews 4:14, Yeshua the Son of God. Son of God. How many times does the Bible have to say something for you to believe? Never is Yeshua called God the Son. That is, with all due respect, a made-up term by Trinitarian theology. It's not in the Bible. You'll not find that in the Bible. As I close, let me say, as I did in my first speech, that I agree that Yeshua is God. I could say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Not that He's just my Lord, but that He's my God. But am I speaking in a Trinitarian sense? Greek philosophy, 21st century? Or am I using the word God as the Father used it in Exodus 7, verse 1? When He looked down to Moses and said, Moses, I will make thee God. Elohim. Same word used in Genesis 1, verse 1. Yes, Yeshua could be called by Thomas, my Lord and my God. As an elevated human, as God's only begotten Son, He was a God. He was God. I had no problem with it. But in what sense is He God? Is He the one God? Is He the God of the Trinity? No. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God, according to Peter. 2016. Hopefully you all believe me. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your attendance. And at this time, we'll take another 5-minute break before we have the questions. Thank you.